Vince, then. I feel like I'm forgetting something else, but anyway. So, church council meeting Thursday night. I've checked with those that are present and others, and yes, planning on that, 6 o'clock here at the church. And then the next Sunday, something special. My wife shared a special message with her family out there in Ohio, and we decided it was good enough to come back and share with the church family here. It's actually going to be a 2-week message, so your Bible reading thing says the first half of heaven in your Bible readings for this week. God's eternal goodness to you for next Sunday. Keep my wife in prayer. And there was something else related to that. Oh, it's going to be a build up to the song message that Steve requested in 3 weeks from now. So anyway, it all ties in together. It's kind of a God thing. So looking forward to that. And is this on over here? Yeah. Okay, hi, Sue, and the rest of the family. Hi, they asked. Anita and all of them, they asked that we video that this morning for them. So, okay, well, I guess I covered everything I need to. I'm feeling just kind of out of sorts since I, you know, you go for 2 weeks and it just things fuzzy in your head. But on the front of your bulletin is depicted the a picture of the prodigal. And that's what I was going to say. This is kind of awkward because Sue requested the song that we're having the message on today. And then they had a change of plans with the family, so she doesn't actually get to be here for the message. But it partly deals with the prodigal son out of Luke 15. But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Shall we celebrate this morning? Yes, we shall. We're going to do that, and I hope we'll open our hearts to celebrating the Lord and His love and His grace and His mercy fully this morning. Father, as we come into your house this morning, we do so as always with gratitude, thanksgiving for the freedom to do so. Thankful, Lord, to be reunited with our church family, these that we love, and those that we're missing today, but united together in your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for all your love, your goodness, your faithfulness. We celebrate you today and all that you offer to us. Help us to open our hearts wide to you, and what we lift to you in word and song and from our hearts, may it be a blessing to you and a blessing to each one. In your son's name we pray, amen. Fading out that. So one other, actually a couple of people I had meant to give thanks to, although they're not here this morning, Hollis and Kathy, helped cover things as well. They are visiting another church this morning, getting acquainted with some folks for next Sunday when Hollis is going to be preaching out at the what used to be called the Church of the Wildwood. It's now the Newman Lake Community Church. And so they're getting acquainted today, and he'll be sharing a message with them next Sunday. So hi, Hollis and Kathy. Hi, Sue. This message is for you and the rest of us as well. So Sue had requested Undo by Rushing Fools, and I don't know if any of you are rushing this morning, but you know we're all in that company from time to time, doing foolish things, yes, needing God's grace and mercy to welcome us back and get us back on track. And sorry that Sue can't be here this morning, but she apologized as well. Things got changed up, and it was too late to change the message and the bulletins and all of that. So here it is anyway. And we're just going to be rejoicing together in this message. And I just want to read the words again to that song that she requested in case you didn't catch some of it, because it is significant. The words again says, "I've been here before, now here I am again. Standing at the door, praying you'll let me back in. To label me a prodigal would be only scratching the surface of who I've been known to be. Turn me around, pick me up, undo what I've become. Bring me back to the place of forgiveness and grace. I need you, I need your help, I can't do this myself. You're the only one who can undo what I've become." Second verse says, "I focused on the score, but I could never win. Trying to ignore a life of hiding my sin. To label me a hypocrite would be only scratching the surface of who I've been known to be. And it goes back to the chorus, turn me around, pick me up, undo what I've become. I think that song speaks for each and every one of us at different points in our lives. We find ourselves having blown it, and though we have had a faith and a trust in the Lord and turned to Him, sometimes we turn away in the choices we make. We turn around and find that He is there waiting in forgiveness and grace. But we need to express that. We need to confess it, repent it, know that the Lord will receive and forgive and restore us to that place and help us in the process to grow even stronger in our faith and all of that. My glasses okay? Something's feeling weird this morning. It's just me. It's not my glasses. It's just me. Are they bent?
Yeah, they are.
Okay. Can you tolerate it? It's not too distracting. Take them off. Sorry, I can't do that because I really do need this.
How do they fit you?
Huh?
If you can tolerate it.
I guess. We'll see. We'll see. God's grace will get us through, right? Okay. Turn me around, undo my bent glasses. Restore them. Okay. Anyway, the songs we've sung this morning all reflect different aspects of this song as well. And some of the things that we want to highlight and celebrate this morning. It's all about experiencing and re-experiencing the perpetual pardon that the Lord offers to us. Not only just a one-time experience, but ongoing as we grow in grace and grow in a deeper understanding and experience of who He is and what He offers to us. And so we're going to really celebrate that pardon this morning. And we are going to begin with a pardon, proclamation, and prayer. And I did forget to mention the title, being undone by the Lord. The song was undo. And so that process might be spoken of as being undone or redone by the Lord. It's all together in that. But we're going to focus on the pardon aspect of it. There is a proclamation in prayer that we see in the Bible, and it begins with the Lord's proclamation to Moses in Exodus 34.
Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin.
Twice the word proclaiming is mentioned here. The Lord himself is proclaiming to Moses who he is, and that he offers compassion, grace, love, faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and ten thousands, we could say, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, going on and on and on. This is who the Lord is. And this is who we proclaim as well in our midst this morning as we affirm that, as we say, yes, that is who God is. That's the experience I have of Him many, many times. The psalmist adds a prayer while also echoing the proclamation in Psalm 86.
Hear me, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord, listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me.
Yeah. So the psalmist as well knew, proclaimed who the Lord was, and prayed that he would be able to receive that experience of the Lord again. And he says, you are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you. There was a chorus that kept running through my mind, and I couldn't find it on the internet or anything, and asked Kathy, it was a song, a chorus that they used to sing in the preschool here. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you, to all who call on you. And it goes on. But it's a catchy tune, and it'll keep running in your mind if we wanted to. But anyway, the psalmist was good at writing a lot of songs based on his experience of God's pardon and his grace and his mercy, and that was one of them. Then Jesus taught that pardon is key to praying for pardon. In Matthew chapter 6, familiar passage.
And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times.
That's one version. I like the version that says 7 times 70, because that's 490, which back when I was a 49er fan, it was significant, but not as much anymore. But it's like the perfect number, 7 times 70. Anyway, of course, what it's saying is almost endlessly, we ought to forgive another as the Lord is willing to forgive us as well. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're reminded that pardon is a very important part of that prayer, and that we need to be willing to share his pardon with others in order to fully experience that pardon ourselves. If we cut off others, we're going to cut off the grace that God desires to give us. So we have to be careful with that. Praying for pardon also means that we are going to offer it to others as well. So that's a pardon, proclamation, and prayer. As depicted on the bulletin cover, the prodigal pardon, is very familiar and a favorite of ours. And we find that in Luke chapter 15, the last part of that parable that Jesus taught.
When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate.
Yeah. Why is the parable of the prodigal son one of our favorites? Why? Okay, forgiveness.
We identify.
We're the prodigal son. And that song talks about that. Sue is relating to that and making that confession, as it were, of the experience that we all identify with. And doesn't it just touch our hearts that though the son was so lavish in his waste, the father was even more lavish or prodigal in his grace and treated the son like royalty, kill the fatted calf, bring the royal robes, all of the everything that is expressed there that he wants to do for the son is an expression of royalty, making us royalty to the father. And so he is so lavish and prodigal in his grace and his mercy to us. We can't help but respond to that and just melt, as it were, in gratitude and the grace that God has granted to us. And so that's prodigal pardon that the Lord offers. Next, Peter had the privilege of being the first one to declare Pentecostal pardon on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was granted. We find this in Acts chapter 3.
Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come to the Lord.
Yeah.
Come from the
Lord. Thank you for the emphasis on so that. Repent, turn to God, so that you'll experience what you desire and need to experience. And that, of course, is the sins being wiped out, times refreshing may come from the Lord. It speaks of that ongoing experience of being restored, being renewed, being redone, as the Lord has desired for us to experience. So Peter had the privilege of declaring that on the day of Pentecost. He said that, I know that you acted in ignorance, but ignorance isn't an excuse. We all can plead ignorance, and there are times when we're generally ignorant, but it's not an excuse because God has given us His Word. He has given us His Spirit. He informs us. He reveals His will to us. And if we're ignorant, then we need to dig in a little deeper and become more aware of God's will in our lives. And as we do so, His grace is sufficient to help us to grow in Him and become more like Him. This is all a process that we experience in this being redone, being undone from our sins and being renewed, refreshed again. Next, Paul is always good to expound on God's grace and mercy and what we might call Pauline pardon. We begin in Romans chapter 3.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God.
Do you boast in the hope of the glory of God? You don't boast in yourselves, do you? Nothing to boast about in ourselves. We boast in the hope that God has given to us because of His grace. And what I love about that word justified, and you've heard this before. I mentioned it the other day in one of our, I think it was Helping Hands devotions. That word came out, and I said, just as if I had never sinned. That's what that word means, just as if I had never sinned. So He undoes that sin in our lives. He forgives it, wipes it out, and remembers it no more. And we begin anew. And He has undone what we have wasted, basically, in our lives. And so His grace is sufficient. The peace of God comes to us again, and our hope is built and based on that. Then we're able to glory in God's grace and His mercy, even in our times of weakness and failures. We see Paul write about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Yeah. This is not to say that we glory or that we're glad for our failures and our sin. But oftentimes we can recognize that those failures and sins come because we are weak. We're tempted. We give in. The enemy's at work against us. And what we can glory in is that God's grace is sufficient even in that. His strength, His power is made perfect in our weaknesses, even our sins and our failures. He uses to bring glory to Himself because He does undo it. He does redo us. And we glory in that. And so Paul, declaring what the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. His righteousness, His holiness is made perfect in our unholiness. He becomes our holiness as we open ourselves to Him. This process is marvelous because even if we are able to see us ourselves in the worst that we are, and the enemy wants to try to use that to bring us down and discourage us, we can see glory in it because God has already made a plan that brings us back. Am I making myself clear? Because I don't want us to glory in sin and all of that, but we have a God who is able to work all things, even our sinfulness, for good. because he brings us back. That's the point. What's more, we are reminded that we are raised with Christ because of how rich his mercy is. This is in Ephesians chapter 2.
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse from sin. We could have sang that hymn this morning as well, as Paul goes on and on about this grace and this mercy, the pardon that the love of the Lord offers to us. Because of his great love, he who is rich in mercy even raises us up to heavenly places with Christ. There's so much we can go on and on. Paul continues in his letter to Titus, Titus chapter 3.
But when the kindness of love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteousness things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone.
Yeah, what we're sharing this morning is excellent and profitable for all of us, because we're being reminded once again of how marvelous and beautiful and never failing, never ending God's grace and mercy is for us. His kindness, the washing of rebirth, renewal by the Holy Spirit, all of these things so wonderful to experience. And God has made it all possible through Christ. Paul's final word on pardon and grace is a word of encouragement and strength for us as well. 2 Thessalonians 2.
May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word.
Yes, and I hope you are encouraged and strengthened by God's word already this morning, but we're not quite done. We have one more aspect of pardon that we want to finish up with as we celebrate being undone by the Lord, is also what we might call a priestly pardon. Writer of Hebrews highlights this in Hebrews chapter 4.
Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Doesn't that just touch your heart anew to know that when we sin, when we fail, sometimes we're afraid to try to turn back to God in our shame and the guilt the enemy puts on us, and we're afraid, well, maybe I've just blown it too many times and God's not going to forgive me again. But we have a high priest who understands, because he has gone through everything for us. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that there is mercy waiting there. God is anxious to receive us back again. It doesn't matter how many times we've blown it. If we will turn back to him, he is there waiting to receive us. This is priestly pardon, that ongoing work of being undone and redone by the Lord. Then John reminds us of the continuing priestly pardon in 1 John chapter 1 and 2.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Yeah. Not only was he the atoning sacrifice, he's also the advocate. He is the one who is pleading on our behalf and interceding for us. It wasn't just the work he did on the cross. He was resurrected. Now he's there at the right-hand throne of the Father, interceding for us, praying for us, advocating for us. He's doing everything he can on our behalf. All we have to do is recognize it again and yield to it again and say, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Finally, Peter returns with a priestly pardon benediction.
And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
To him be the power forever and ever. After we have suffered a while, we will always suffer in our sinfulness. It brings some kind of suffering and some consequence that the enemy will use against us. But after we've suffered for a while, if we will return, he himself will restore you. He'll make you strong, firm, steadfast. He does that. That's God's work. And so we want to be encouraged that not only will he forgive us and bring us back, undo what we've done and when we've blown it, but he will also make us firmer, make us stronger in that process. Refining fire is at work in our lives. And so let us not become discouraged, and don't let the enemy bring you down when you blow it. Quickly acknowledge it. Return to God. Know that you're being made stronger in the process. This is what the Lord offers to us this morning. Not only does he undo, but he redoes and brings us even more than what we were before. And we can glory in that process because we know God is at work. He's the one that's helping us through it all. I can repeat myself time and time again, but we're not going to. Because time and again, we find ourselves in this place of needing to come back to the Lord and to be redone by his grace and his mercy. Once again, this morning, we find ourselves at a place where maybe we need to acknowledge and to be undone and redone by the Lord. Each one of us, in some way, probably needs to acknowledge something this morning and be restored fully in with the Lord. And so there's a song that goes along well with what Sue had requested. It's entitled, Once Again. Once again, we find ourselves in that place, but once again, it's an opportunity to thank him and to praise him because of what he offers to us when we find ourselves in this place, needing once again to come to him. Once again, we will find that he is available, and we thank him and we praise him for that. So stand with me, join me as we sing Once Again. As always, the altars are open if you desire to pray here.
Now you are exalted.
Now you are.
again we find ourselves here at the throne of grace. Once again we're thanking you, Lord, that we're able to, because you've made us able. Our hearts are overwhelmed many times as we look once again upon the cross where you died, what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, that that grace and mercy at the cross still extends to us today. Thank you, it doesn't matter how many times we blow it, when we return back to you, you're there with open arms, ready to forgive, ready to undo our sinfulness, redo us, re-cleanse us, restore us fully. Thank you, Lord. Again, we fall short of words. We say, listen to our hearts. As we offer ourselves anew to you today, thank you, Lord.